Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss, and...
And I'm Theo Vaughn, and...
What was that?
I don't know what that was, dude. What was that?
Like a baby pony to me.
Yeah, was that you?
No, that sounded like one of those midget ponies.
Oh, yeah. They faint, you know?
No, those are goats.
Oh, yeah, they faint. You know what? I used to have this thing because I get real nervous during sexual intercourse, right?
Oh.
So a lot of times for not years, but probably about 8 months when I was doing sex, I would hold my breath. I'd get so nervous and then I would faint just like those little animals.
Fall over?
Yeah.
And just like what they do is they lay there kind of stunned for about 45 seconds. And then they pop right back up.
That's
was
me.
That you?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Dude, were you outside my place?
No, but now I think I want to have sex with you just to see it. I want to see that.
Well, that is the voice of Harlan Williams, our guest for today.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Harlan is also.
Thank you for coming in. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. And, my pleasure.
Wow. We've explained the game to you, or sort of your judging role in this.
Yes.
So I'm not above doing anything for points. So if there's anything special, just write it on a piece of paper.
Okay.
I have great knee pads in my car.
Wow.
I will get down,
Rosie,
and do what I got to do.
Okay.
And
okay.
That's
good to know.
Not in Arizona, you won't. Isn't that illegal in Arizona, I think, these days?
Well, are we talking
everywhere
about the same thing?
Probably. I think so. I'm just going to.
Because I was picturing you like pulling the cedar stripping out of the bottom of my canoe, but what were you thinking?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, well, that's okay. That could work out.
That's
you know what? I'm going to give you 2 points just for that.
Thank you.
For his woodwork, huh?
Just for suggesting it. I haven't seen it yet, but the fact that you'd get into my canoe and do some peeling gets you two. Got you two. You're in the lead.
Well, thank you for coming on. You've got Harlan has his own podcast, which is it? You've done over 900 episodes?
900, yeah. Theo did number 900, my special guest for number 900.
I sure did, and I'll share it on my social media feeds on Facebook and Twitter today.
80
so
points.
You guys can check that.
Just got 80 points.
I'll do it on my Twitter, too. How did you... 900 episodes?
900, yeah.
That's, wow, Harlan.
Like, that's a lot,
yeah,
obviously.
And it was weird because I knew I wanted Theo for 900, and I was like, I hope I don't get in a car accident, because it took 6 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope I don't die, I hope I don't drown, because I want Theo real bad. And
the letters I would
made
get,
it.
I'd cut the faucet on in my tub, and a bottle would come out with a note in it. And it would be like, will you please come on?
Why did you want Theo for episode 900? What's so special about Theo?
Because I don't know if you know, but his father's a Highlander, and his father's 900.
Yes,
and so I thought there was like a tie-in, the Scottish connection. Yeah.
Very Scottish,
Very old father. I know you.
I can't even read in English. I can't even read in English.
You're Gaelic, right? Or what are you?
Oh, dude, he's Gaelic. I'm into
women. Yeah.
No, I'm Jewish.
Oh, sorry, but he's both.
Okay, there we go.
But we're happy to have you here, man. I want to know about these puppy dog pals, because I know you guys just got a new season.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
I know. I was looking it up too, and I was like, I mean, I wasn't aware of it. I mean, Sherry O'Terry's a friend of mine, and she told me that she did a voice with.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know that. I thought it was like a spoof, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's a genuinely like little kids watch this animated show.
Yeah, it's a Disney cartoon called Puppy Dog Pals, and we just got our second season. And,
it's awesome.
It's on Disney Junior every Friday, and Sherry O'Terry does a voice, and Tom Kinney, the guy who does SpongeBob, and Patrick Warburton, and Huey Lewis does a voice. And Tom Green does a voice. And
when you were people taking you seriously? Like when you initially were saying, I want to do a kid's show? Or like an animated kid show?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
they took
okay.
me real serious, yeah. It's easy to pitch a kid's show when you got a gun in your hand, you know? Folks take you serious,
good
man.
Good point.
Yeah. Gun always
self.
Makes stuff
gun
a little more
help.
Serious.
Bow and arrow, awkward.
Awkward, hard to get in the room, hard to get past security at the studios.
Yeah.
Gun, strap it to your inner thigh, boom.
You're in there.
Papa,
what do you have to do
preach
for season two?
Season two,
it's like a whole other
arsenal. That was a toughie. That was formaldehyde and giblet.
Giblets?
Yeah,
you bait and switch.
Yeah.
That's the old bait and switch.
Formaldehyde, great drag name, by the way.
That is a good drag name.
If I went in a drag, it would be formaldehyde. I think that would be great.
What's up? Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, collectibles? Well, Loot Crate has it. It's the best surprise that you know is coming. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items, doodads, whatnots, coloring books, t-shirts, coffee mugs, curios. You never know what it's going to be, but it's always less than $20 a month, and it's for everyone. You know, you hear about some things, you're like, oh, this is just for like nerdy people or just for people that, you know, like comic books or something like that. It's nothing like that. Every month, your Loot Crate has something unique in it. This month, you're going to get unreal items from Marvel, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're like, eh, I don't really know if I like some of those things. Here's the thing about Loot Crate. The second you open it, it's like a time capsule into like this silly world of nostalgia. If you're an adult, it makes you feel like a kid again. And if you're a kid, it makes you feel like exactly what you are. And right now, you can use our code. Go to lootcrate.com/allegedly. That's lootcrate.com/allegedly. And use the code Theo for 10% off any new subscription. Lootcrate.com/allegedly. Use code Theo for 10% off any new subscription. I guarantee you're going to love it. I've been getting Loot Crates for 5 months. Not once have been disappointed. I've kept two for myself. I've given three away. Two were for friends of mine's children, and one was directly for a friend of mine. No one ever disappointed. It's that special thing that you want to have around the house so you can always have a gift for somebody new. I just got an email. I got to go. Love you guys. Lootcrate.com/allegedly, code Theo. Now, what about, so a lot of our listeners are probably ladies that have children. So if they don't, so they can watch it on Nick Jr.
No, but, Disney Jr.
Disney Jr., sorry. So what kind of like, what can they expect out of the pals, you know?
And by the way, I loved on your Twitter, like people take pictures of their kids watching your show.
Oh, it's great. It's adorable. It's really cool.
I've been getting inundated with people taking videos and pictures of their children watching Puppy Dog Pals and sending it to me.
I can't decide if that's a little creepy or not.
No, it's amazing. It's, no, adorable. Awesome. It's adorable. It's adorable. I love it. Well, it was something I didn't expect. But
it depends on what hour of the night you're watching.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's true.
It's your issue.
If the kids are chained to the radiator or not.
That's true.
But it's basically an adventure show where the little puppies overhear their owner, Bob, and I do the voice of Bob, and they overhear him saying something that he wants or needs. And they interpret that as their mission for the day. And so when he goes to work, they go out the doggy door and go all over the planet to try and accomplish the mission. And somehow they miraculously do it, and they get home by 5 o'clock just before he does. And he discovers what he wanted is there at the house, and he's not sure how it got there, but the Puppy Dog Pals did it.
I knew they did it.
Hello. You knew that. You knew.
And every episode they do it.
Every episode they get it on. Oh. They play hard.
Well, you can understand why I would be skeptical, or I would think that people would say, the guy from Half Baked doing it, or like a kid's show, or from You're Rolling Something About Mary, or something along those lines, would be, oh, okay, not necessarily what we would put two and two together. That's why it just surprised me.
Well, it's funny because doing all my movies, I wrote and illustrated children's books.
Oh,
so I have like 9 kids' books that are out there in the world.
Well,
so
that makes sense.
That was before I got into all the crazy movie stuff. But, you know, it's just as the complex human beings that we are, we can do anything.
Yeah,
you know? That's very true. Do you often get tempted to go to a different place with the puppies and get a little darker humor sometimes?
No, I like it that I can keep them. I just like it that they live in this sweet, innocent world.
Yeah.
Because that's a place that we don't, as grown-ups, get to play in every day. So it's nice to kind of submerge myself into this world where everything's happy and fun and sweet.
Yeah.
Sugar-coated. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you don't want reality to set in like Donald Trump all of a sudden makes a visit to the puppies.
I wouldn't mind Trump. I think I'm the only guy in Hollywood that likes Trump.
You do, huh?
Oh, yeah. I love him.
I mean, I think he's definitely super interesting for sure. You know?
I love him.
You love him politically or entertainment-wise?
Politically, yeah.
Okay.
Should I leave now?
No judgments. No.
Most people just...
You can stay on my side.
Okay. You know what? I think we just got you 120 points.
But you have some other hidden talents because I know you've worked with a lot of animals. You've done night training. What have you worked with, bats or something?
Yeah, I had a Well, when you're starting as a comic, you got to make ends meet. And so some people are janitors, some people are, you know, they work at a 7-Eleven, hieroglyphic people. But I had I had a traveling bat show called Johnny's Nightmare Vampire Wagon.
How crazy is that?
It was great.
What?
And it was weird because, you know, most bats are blind, but fruit bats or flying foxes, as they're called in many parts of the world, they can actually see.
Another gay term, isn't it?
I'd prefer to be called a flying fox, please.
Okay, yeah.
And so I would tell people I had a bunch of vampire bats, but it was they were actually fruit bats. They're very big and they look like little flying foxes.
And his trick was, because I've seen some of the videos, the trick was you would put, and this is what I read anyway, you put like marmalade on your neck, and that's how you trick them to.
Yeah, I put the marmalade, two little dots, and then the crowd loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd stand one way, and then when I turned to the right, they'd see the two puncture, and I'd pretend I was the Walking Dead. And it was fun. It was a way to make money.
When was this?
This was probably late 80s, early 90s, just when I was starting to break in.
Did you do it like on the street, or were you doing it like in a...
I would do like parties, like people could call me up. I'd go to the house, or I would do like festivals, outdoor festivals and stuff.
When's the last time you did your bat?
Yeah, that's
routine.
A good question.
You know what? It's a great question. I stopped when things started getting rolling for me in about 94. And then a buddy of mine who has a show, he still does a show up in, I guess he's up in Montana now. He asked me just for old times to come up and do one.
Oh, wow.
And we had a sellout crowd of 500 people, and I was able to get the bats back together. It's unreal.
Let's get the bats back together.
It was really something.
Didn't miss a step.
Yeah, they flew around and sucked marmalade off my neck like we never stopped almost.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man.
That's crazy, man. That's really very interesting.
Well, Harlan's had a play. Of careers too, dude. I'm starving, man.
For food?
Yeah.
Why?
Something paleo, bro.
But it's working. You look good.
Thanks, man. I'm definitely leaning out, but in a positive way. And you've probably heard of paleo and wondered, is this just another diet trend?
Absolutely. Especially when you're in Los Angeles and you hear every trend there is for diets.
Yeah.
But paleo?
Well, experts at the Paleo Secret, which is what the diet that I'm doing is called, say it's actually the perfect anti-diet. It's no counting calories or depriving yourself, nothing like that. Instead, paleo is a wellness lifestyle. It's all about enjoying, delicious, satisfying foods that your body wants. It's like
what your body was designed to eat, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way nature intended.
Yes. And for a limited time, our listeners can get 50% off their famous 30-day challenge starting at $13.50, completely risk-free.
Yeah. If you go to thepaleosecret.com/podcast, thepaleosecret.com/podcast, reclaim your health, your youth, your energy. Yeah. I'd like to take some of that back.
Yeah.
I need my youth. I need my energy. My health.
Well, you've definitely been shopping for youth and energy, I know, by chasing some of these younger boys.
Well, but they say that the side effects are normally a bad thing. Not for this. They include boundless energy, improved sleep, effortless weight loss, which everybody wants, and even cleaner, clearer skin.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I actually feel a little bit cleaner. The Paleo Secret, it's an anti-diet. It's based on scientifically proven research. It has an approach that it just goes in the face of every diet you've ever tried. You've heard of diets and these pills and this and that. That's all over with. Instead of starving and restricting yourself, trying insane exercises or otherwise torturing your body into a new shape, you get to indulge in delicious foods that you learn to prepare yourself to turn your body on.
And it basically, the diet focuses on whole real food consisting of meats, eggs, fish, things like that, and eliminates inflammatory foods like sugar, grains, milk, and all that sort of stuff. So it's really giving what the body needs and survives on, as opposed to just filling it with diet peach snapples, which I do every day.
Ooh.
They're not our sponsor, though.
Yeah, they're not our sponsor. The Paleo Secret Challenge is a wellness transformation that teaches you how to shop for, prepare, and consume those foods that will allow your body to perform optimally
optimally boost metabolism, nourish, and heal itself. And all you have to do is go to thepaleosecret.com/allegedly. Reclaim your health right now. 50% off their famous 30-day challenge starting at just $13.50.
As well as access to their private Facebook group.
Yep.
So you can get some community support.
Yep. Get it going.
Completely risk-free.
Completely risk-free. Get it going. You'll like it. I'm liking it. And if you have any questions, you can just tweet at me about it.
Stop dieting and start a wellness transformation today.
Yum. I'm so starving right now. And I know I'm
trying. Well, he also worked with Gina Davis, which was.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. You were on the Gina Davis show.
She's great.
Theo loves Gina Davis.
Well, that's probably your bow and arrow reference right there. You know, she almost went into the Olympics.
Did she really?
She actually had a.
She's an archeress?
She had a target set up outside of our studio, and on our lunch break, she'd go out and shoot bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And she's really smart. She was in Mensa.
Oh.
But, and she's had a little work done.
A couple children, too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she had twins when she was like 50 or something.
She's awesome. But remember when we saw her at the movie theater?
Yes, we tried to get her
a picture of her. She wasn't having it.
And she wasn't having it.
She was busy.
Dude, should have dropped my name, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Damn, next time I will.
I was too busy quoting League of Their Own.
Yeah, I know.
She was like, not having it.
He's like, who are the two boys in the singing about the Racine Bells in the corner of this room, you know? It was us.
Too weird for us.
It's dangerous doing quotes, though. What movie quote did you do from her?
For, I don't remember, but I know every quote from that movie.
So you said you did one, though?
Yeah.
This was bizarre. One of her movie quotes put me in the hospital for 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't mean to laugh at that because it's
no.
Serious,
it was. But... I was with a buddy, childhood buddy of mine, and we were on a road trip out in the desert, and it was a cliff, and we were in a convertible,
okay.
And we said, "Let's, you know, we love the movie." We drove off holding hands, and probably I think it was about a 100-foot drop, and I really racked up my spine.
Yes.
But
you did not.
Yes, I love.
Is he being serious, Theo?
I have no idea. I know he's obviously done a lot of reenactments, and I know you did stunt stuff though.
Well, this was just to me. It was a movie quote, like it was like you know acting out, like you know. Instead of saying a line like, Adrian, you know, like from Rocky, I drove a convertible off a 100-foot cliff with my childhood buddy. He passed away, but I just racked my back up, and it was fun.
That's crazy.
It was weird, though, laying under the convertible, like our fingers got locked because the car was and I was holding the hand of a dead guy for about 2 hours before the medics got there.
Oh, and wow.
It's weird to feel dead fingers in your live fingers.
Did you, at first, could you tell he was alive and then it slowly started to be less and less?
No, it was spasming. He did like his fingers did like those spasms and then just gone.
Mm.
And I couldn't budge. I could, because, you know, when people die, they have a death grip, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it was really awkward because there was a bottle of water hanging upside down in the cup holder, and I just wanted to get to that,
and I had to
hold on to Ted, and it was horrible.
And you know, I've heard even a lot of men will be adult males if they catch an adult male that's trying to pleasure themselves or do something like that. Mm-hmm. If they die during that, their hand will still be like that, but the wiener secedes from the hand.
Oh, right.
And so you have that wiener secession, so you'll just have this hand kind of right there.
The cock cone.
Yeah, the cock.
Know this? What's going on right now?
Yeah. They have all kinds of websites about this.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh.
TheLastHand.com or something? The last hand job.
Yeah.
All right.
Unbelievable.
I'm just going to have that. I'm going to ask a question.
And what else did you get into, dude?
Well, you got what
you were
category?
A salesman, too, for, you
check
did
it out.
Sales.
You got to narrow this down.
Would you do door-to-door?
Yeah, I did door-to-door stuff for a while.
And was that performing?
No, I was selling pet doors door-to-door.
Ah.
What are the odds of that, dude? And now?
And now puppy.
Pals.
Well, it was fun. You know, you can put a laugh or a smile on it until one day, you know. Do you know any, like, small people, like midgets?
Oh, yeah. I got a friend who's just outside of midgetdom. He's just on that cusp.
I don't think you can say that either.
Dwarfdom.
Yeah. So I was making a good little kind of side living selling pet doors door to door until one day I rolled up on a house where some dwarfs lived.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I say, hey, you want to buy a door? And I pop out four or five, you know, 6-inch high doors. And yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen a midget with a shotgun on the front porch. No, dude, I ran, man. He got pissed. He's like, is this a joke, bro? You trying to sell me a midget door, bro? And I said, no, it's for like a dash hound, bro. Yeah, boom, dude. Boom. I didn't even have time to answer. Like,
well, dash hound is a racial slur, I think, to dwarfs as well.
Is it? Yeah.
I had a roommate in college for one semester that was a dwarf or a little person. In the old times days, they'd call him midget.
Yeah. But, midget. I like that. And midget at night, rolls better.
I think it does. It's French. Yeah. And in France, they say midget.
Yeah, they do.
Only here do we have an issue with it.
Yeah.
But at night, he would run and jump into bed. And I thought it was pretty cool.
That's cute.
Adorable. It was cool, man.
The best part must have been when he hit the edge of the mattress and fell back on the floor.
When he came up a little bit.
Were you sharing a bed?
No, we weren't.
No, okay.
Just all night I would hear this. Just my roommate just missing the bed.
This reminds me of a story. When I was living in Taiwan in the late 80s, I used to get a midget when I was at one of the cheap hotels in Taiwan. I'd put olive butter on my ass cheeks and get a midget to run and jump into my ass crack.
Oh, that's awesome,
it was fun. Dude. It was fun. It hurt. Sometimes it hurt. I had one that wore golf shoes once, and that kind of ended it.
That's crazy.
That
ends with the old breech birth, you know?
Yeah,
that
can my water broke for sure.
Yeah, dude.
You've
got
water.
A plethora of jobs.
Including, you got to make a living.
Everybody knows you from so many movies, including Dumb and Dumber and Half Baked and Rocketman, which a lot of people love.
Yeah.
It's like a cult classic.
That's right.
And
that's
There's Something About Mary, which I just read they're making into a musical.
Is that right?
Yeah. The Farrelly Brothers are taking it to Broadway.
That's
I swear to God.
That's fantastic.
You should get up and do your reprise your role on Broadway.
We'll see what happens. I'm glad you brought it up. You know what? You just got a point, bro.
It's true. They're doing it at the
you
musical.
You got a point. You might have led to some work for me, and that's worth a point.
I like that.
I mean, you'll get like 120 points for just liking Trump, and I get 1 point for possibly.
You know what I do when people complain? I take the point away. So now you're back down to
we
two.
We could take a year's worth of points away from Matt then.
Fair enough.
Now, what about this? So, Harlan, you've had a lot of, you know, and you've had a lot of success in different realms and genres of the business.
Sure.
Is there a, you know, Broadway or something that you'd like to get that you think you could achieve that you'd like to?
What's the next frontier?
You know, I actually got offered a role in the Broadway Chicago.
Wow.
Cabaret. Ooh. I was doing stand-up at Caroline's, and some of the cast and the crew were there, and they offered me the part of the MC.
Yeah, at
in
the cabaret. He doesn't know. I got it.
Matt has it tattooed on his back.
And so I went to the show to watch it. They invited me to the show. Yeah, and it was a really cool part, but they wanted like a year. You had to sign on for a year, and I just said I can't do it, but. I actually at one point thought about making Half Baked as a Broadway musical. I mean, Chappelle owns the rights; it's his movie. But I just had the thought about it. I couldn't do it. It would be something for him to do. But I thought it would be such an interesting, freaky Broadway musical, Half Baked, a musical about stoners, and you know.
I actually think that's a great idea,
and especially now with we being such a big, you know, that it's, you know, gaining not popularity but gaining what would you call it? That it's outdoorsmanship across America. We're used to just smoking in the basement. Now people can smoke it in their front yard.
Did you ever mention it to Chappelle?
I never mentioned it to him, but I mentioned it to our agents before. We have the same agent, and I brought it up to him before. But it would obviously be a ton of work.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
You know, I don't know if that's something that Dave would ever take an interest in, but I always thought, man, it could be a whole kind of neat Broadway play, the likes of which we've kind of never seen
before.
You know? I think that's great. And speaking of, we had a social media question, which was, who was harder to make laugh, Dave Chappelle or Jim Carrey?
Chappelle.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Dave is a little more somber. Dave is a little more stoic.
Okay.
I could make him laugh, definitely, but it took a lot. I had to kind of find my mark.
Yeah.
But Jim is so so out there and so, you know, Jim is just...
He is out there. I mean, did you see that recent interview thing he did?
Yeah, I actually thought the interview was cool. A lot of people thought he was crazy. I mean, I could see how he got to that point in his career or in his mind and his life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never spent a ton of time with him. The only time was here for a couple hours one night. But I thought it was kind of interesting.
It was very interesting. I mean, it was out there, yeah. But it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was a perspective that, you know, you certainly don't hear from on red carpets, which is what a lot of people are thinking.
Right.
Like, what is the point of this? So it was kind of cool to hear someone say that.
Do you think that that they would invite him back to more red carpets now to get more stuff that seemed like what he really thought, you know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I feel like a lot of times what gets me is that, like, I'd rather see awards for people being real than people acting almost sometimes. Or like, you know, like, I don't know. It just struck me because it was real. It seemed like even maybe he was going through a little bit of a, you know, something, a weird thought day in his head or something.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Did you see it, Arlen?
I did. Yeah, the interviewer was on the red carpet and started talking about all this esoteric
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, what does this mean?
I did see it. Yeah, my cousin told me about it.
Did that ring true to the gym that you knew?
No, but that was a gym I did not recognize.
Hmm.
That was a gym that I think he, you know, was going through some kind of transformation in life, which is common for many people. But
he might have been shedding a skin, huh?
Yeah, it's peeling back another layer of the onion. I think Jim's a very deep and complicated, intelligent human being, and he's just arrived at the next landing strip in his mind. And so he's
Buzz Aldrin for a little bit.
He's sharing that, but you know, I think people might take advantage of it because it's a different perspective, and I think they might pull him out and try to label him and make him a bit of a spectacle, which is what I fear. But he's a very smart, smart man. So I hope he's okay. It's not the Jim I'm familiar with, but I always respect Jim to the max.
You know, and you grew up in Wishing Well country too. I remember reading that one of your bios.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, we lived in a place where there's a lot of wells and, It's just one of those places where we had a lot of groundwater in our community. So instead of you know, people using the taps, people love, you know, groundwater because it's cleaner. It's you don't have all the fluoride.
Fresh well water.
So what happened is we grew up in an environment where we made a lot of wishes. Most of the kids, their parents would give them a pocket full of pennies when they'd head out for school, and then on the way to school, you'd probably pass, I'm gonna say, 14 to 18 wells.
Wow.
On an average, you know, on an average walk.
God,
and so,
you get like 14 wishes in one day.
You would at minimum do a baker's dozen in wishes. And, you know, mine never came true. I never had sex with my English teacher, but she was a great guy regardless. And, but anyways, so we were in Wishing Well country, and man, it's fun. It's fun living on that kind of hope because when you're a kid, you don't realize that none of it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get to school and you go, fuck, today is the day I drive back home for dinner on a fire truck, right? Or today is the day I punch a witch in the twat or whatever, you know? And you just live on that. And then when I got older and moved away, and I think it's when I saw the movie The Ring that I really started to
that'll do it.
Understand.
And some people get addicted to that. I mean, I've read a lot of people get addicted to wishing and that sort of hope that, you know.
That makes
you have any
sense.
People like that were just living?
Yeah, there was a family at right at the end of our street, the Carmichaels, and this is a case of taking it too far, but they would say their wishes out loud. And they believed in them like too much. And I'll never forget one day they put their, I think it was their 4-year-old son, Eddie, out in the middle of the street. And they all stood on the lawn and we go, we hope Eddie doesn't get hit by traffic. And boom, within about 45 seconds, that kid was just looked like raspberry jam.
Oh,
yeah, he was mushed. I got hit with an eye.
Oh,
yeah, one of his eyes popped and hit our doorbell.
Oh.
And I opened it. It was like, ding dong, is what this? And then his second eye, boom, right in my forehead.
Oh,
and it stuck.
Yeah.
And then my neighbors were like, oh, there's a cyclops across the road.
Wow.
And it was just the whole neighborhood went nuts when this kid got run over. So, you can take wishing too far.
Yeah, it sounds like
that. That would do it.
Whatevs.
Yeah, you know? I got hit by a Trans Am actually when I was young.
Wow.
Silver Trans Am.
Yeah. Wow, must have been flying low.
It hit me. It hit me pretty good. I mean, I just remember being awake, and then I remember not being awake.
Trans Ams then around then.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's Trans.
Oh, it's Trans. I think I yeah. Oh, wow. That's okay. The new Trans.
That's so, the new Trans.
Where did it hit you, bro? Yeah. Where'd you get hit?
Hit me in the body.
Did you get clipped or a full hit?
Oh, I think I just got clipped. I mean, I must have just got clipped, you know? But it knocked me unconscious.
Hold on. I'm going to give you 8 points for the clip.
Well, I actually, my grandfather was driving his truck one day, and we were turning on the street, and the truck was old, and the lock, the seatbelts didn't work, and the lock obviously didn't work. The door flew open, and I rolled out of the street and across traffic to the other side. I distinctly remember this. My grandpa coming over, and I was laying on the ground, and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, get back in the truck." I was like, "Okay."
Wow. Do you know how many feet you roll? Oh, he's a yeah.
No, no. Grandpa was not a molester.
Do you know how many?
I'm having all these memories flood back at me.
How many feet did you roll?
It was far. Yeah.
Like, can you give me a number? Because I'm going to give you 5 points per foot.
It was at least 15,000 feet.
No way.
No,
it was probably about 200 feet.
No, it wasn't.
200, that's longer than a football field.
Yeah,
no,
dude.
It's
you know,
not.
200 feet is, it's that's pretty
like,
long.
That's like a football field.
No, yeah, it's no, a small no. football field.
No, that's not.
You know what? I'm going to give you 4 points
okay,
for bullshitting.
Yeah. Wow, 200 feet. What, you just roll and then just keep rolling?
Yeah, I didn't get. Yeah.
What?
Yes. What are you not believing here?
Well, who falls out of a truck and then just rolls? On their own accord.
And if it was winter, you would have turned into a giant snowball. Yeah,
that's
bro.
True. But that didn't happen. But the truth is, my grandparents were watching me because my parents were on vacation. And my grandparents told me not to tell my parents that you fell out of the truck. And in the middle of the night, I snuck down and called them in Bermuda. And I was like, I fell out of Grandpa's truck. And I was all like black and blue and scraped up. And then they had a word with Grandpa. And I didn't drive in the truck again.
Well, my grandparents, I was driving across country with them one time, and my grandfather must have used the bathroom in his pants, and they accused me of doing it and blamed it on me.
Did you take the blame?
I just said it wasn't me, and then we went stopped at a rest area, and my grandfather was like, I'll go wash him out in the bathroom, right? Took me in there, washed himself out, and then took me back, and my grandmother always thought I did it.
Oh, he never fessed up to it?
Yeah, who does that, dude?
Wow, that's pretty, whoa.
Wasn't there like a stain on his seat, though?
Yeah.
No, like, they had
wasn't
it.
There proof in the pudding?
I mean, he had it down to a science, I guess. He'd been doing this.
Wow, maybe he had like lead underpants or something.
Jeez.
And you also, I'm going to get into this. Yeah. What was this thing I saw about a time capsule you did?
What, the one under that we buried?
Yes.
In New York?
Yeah.
Because there's two. There's the one in New York.
This says Rochester.
That's New York.
Okay.
So I'm one of these guys that believes you leave stuff behind for future generation. They have these things.
Me too, dude. I throw all my trash in the yard.
Oh, you do? Tornado style, bro.
Yeah. Well, the wind takes it.
This is a hero.
Yeah. That's my thing. It's
you
like
share.
People, yeah.
It's called sharing.
Yeah. The wind's taken almost all of it, except for a couple of pieces of styrofoam, a couple of like things. Go on.
Well, yeah, you know, I feel like we come through this life, we collect things, we're hoarders to a degree. We all have things in our garages, in our houses, and we have real personal things. And there's these things called time capsules where they put stuff in them and then bury them under the earth, under the concrete.
Yeah, I've got my 20th high school reunion coming up. We did that.
Really?
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, we did that. I'm not going, but there's a little, I can't remember what we put in it, but there's stuff in there.
Wow.
So I was like, my thing's food. I'm a foodie.
Oh.
And
desserts too, huh?
Desserts. I like to bake. I like to, those chocolate souffle cakes. I like to whip up a French toast, a casserole. Like people, that's one thing people don't know about me. I cook.
Really?
I cook. I love food. And so I thought, what do I want to leave behind for people? What's something that I like? So I did a nice roast beef stroganoff.
I'm sorry, that doesn't keep well, I would assume.
Well, it does if it's encased in concrete.
Oh, there you go. And
you got to chip that thing out.
Yeah. Okay. So I put a casserole down there. I put a panzerotto, which is like an Italian dough stuffed with
meringue
and lemon juice. And
I've had that before.
Yeah, and I did a
Panzerotto. Wasn't that guy like on chips as well?
And I did a garlic honey fried rattlesnake. I'm from the South, and we eat rattlesnake.
Yeah,
now, so I did a garlic honey fried, about a 6.5-footer.
Oh.
And
how old were you when you did this?
This was I put this together. This was 2012.
Oh wow. Okay.
So it says do not open. Do not open. I think it's 2050 I've got it or something. Mm.
And now in some of these time capsules, because I have a friend who actually sells time, whose family has gotten into this time capsule thing. It's getting kind of popular.
Yeah. Everyone's
some
doing
of them
it.
Have these locks on them where you can't even
can't open it until whatever the date is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it, was this, do you, what kind of was the one that you guys did? Do you have any?
No, mine was like just, I actually had it engraved. It says, open me and enjoy, eat. It says eat on it. And then
that may crazy. Kill someone.
Well, that's, I won't be around.
Could heal someone.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know the powers of beef stroganoff after.
Have you ever had rattlesnake?
No.
Oh.
Is it good?
Oh, it's really good.
Really?
Deep fried. You've had it. You're
from
the South.
Tastes like a lot of things I've had in Vietnam, too.
Oh.
Tastes very Vietnamese to me. Tastes like a Vietnamese meat.
Tastes like a little boy, huh?
I don't know about that.
Whoa.
That's what he's had in Vietnam.
I almost gummed down this Viet at Best Buy one time, though.
A what?
I almost ate this Vietnamese guy at Best Buy one time when I was on a cleanse.
Okay.
That's true.
That's probably worth, it's got to be worth 15.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I did notice when doing the research, the Hillary Clinton kind of shout out.
Oh, yeah.
How did that make you feel? Now knowing that you're a huge Trump fan, I'm curious what your reaction was that.
Well, Hillary.
Oh, she mentioned you?
She kind of drew a parallel to Something About Mary, right?
Right. She blamed Bernie. One of the many people she blamed for her loss was Bernie Sanders. And she made the connection between my hitchhiker character and Something About Mary, the 7-minute abs guy.
Yeah.
And she's quoted in her book, she quoted the whole scene pretty much where she was like, Bernie was like the 7-minute abs guy. He'd tell you 8, but then offer you 7 and whatever she said. So it was never enough. He was always changing the deal and nothing was real and all this stuff. So I thought it was kind of pretty interesting that in an inadvertent way, I got blamed for her loss as well.
Do you think she in there? You think that was like she genuinely like knew the movie and was really recalled? Or do you think someone else is just...
I mean, given that the movie was so popular, I would have to think it amuses me to think that just for a short moment, Bill and Hillary Clinton were watching me.
That's
great. That kind of makes me laugh.
Do you think they've seen Rocket Man?
I don't know, but Trump did a tweet about Rocket Man yesterday.
He did?
Yeah, I saw that. But he was talking about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, he called him Rocket Man.
How funny
and
is
so
that,
now
dude?
My Twitter lit up. Everyone's sending me clips from Rocket Man saying Harlan Williams is the only Rocket Man. So.
Wow, you are just like you crossed both sides actually. Because
I've become a political animal.
You
man.
Are the most popular person in politics right
Isn't
now.
That wild?
Do you think anyone's ever masturbated to Hillary Clinton?
Sure. There's some weirdos, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody has. I don't think so. You think men or women though?
Probably both.
Yeah.
There's billions of people in this world. There's got to be
true.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe some people in like India or something.
It's got to be someone who's into S&M though, Like someone who likes to get hit or spanked like cuz it can't be easy. Doing that to her. You know what I mean? It's got to be painful.
Yeah.
Like, who masturbates to a pantsuit? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Matt's probably done that before.
On a pantsuit, but not to a pantsuit.
Yeah.
You're part of some real, like, seminal movies that are really stand out to, defining a time to a point, like the 90s and whatnot, those. But there's some real, like, stand the test of time movies.
Yeah,
like Half-Baked and Mary and Dumb and Dumber, like those are classics.
Yeah, are you a good luck charm? Like, do you feel like you have that people? Does that happen sometimes? People are like, oh, if we put Harlan in, it's going to be a hit.
I don't think so, but that'd be nice if they did, because then I'd be in every movie, right? But I said this about the Farrelly brothers. I felt blessed that I was in. I think their two best movies, Dumb and Dumber and Something About Mary.
Yeah.
And they did another movie called Kingpin that they asked me to be in. Peter Farrelly just called me up one day. I was sitting at my desk in my little apartment and the phone rang and he's like, "Hey man, it's Peter." I go, "Hey Peter, what's up?" He goes, "We're doing this movie, Kingpin." And I was like, "Okay." And he goes, "I want you to play this Amish kid."
Wow.
So the Randy Quaid part, he asked me to do it. And I was shooting a sitcom at the time, so I couldn't do it. But that was one, because I thought that was that
cool part.
Mary, Dumb and Dumber, and Kingpin, to me, personally, were their best movies.
Yeah. I mean,
they did a lot of movies, but those were the three that were my faves. So I wish I could have got in on that Kingpin one. That would have been a lot of fun, but.
Do you feel like, do you watch it? But I mean, obviously he did a great job as the character.
Great job.
So is it hard? I guess it would have just been almost a different character, the same character, but just different if you would have done it.
Yeah, it would have been. Well, Randy was quite older when he did it.
Yeah.
Like, we had Dennis on the podcast. We haven't had Randy.
You're fascinated with Randy. Like Randy.
I love Randy. I mean, I think he's just absolutely hilarious. If you follow him on Twitter and stuff, it's great. He's out there. He's missing. He's on the run. He's like
sex tape.
He's doing whatever, dude.
I ended up doing a movie with him. Rodney Dangerfield's last movie we did it together.
Oh, wow.
We had
Dennis in, and the publicist said don't ask anything about Randy at the time, and Theo asked Dennis what his favorite Christmas movie was, very obviously trying to get a Christmas vacation to Dennis Quaid, and Dennis Quaid just looked at him and went, "Elf."
And he might not even remember his brother was in it, you know?
That's true.
Dennis is the one that's been going nuts and running all over, right?
No, that's Randy.
That's Randy.
Right?
Yeah, Randy. Yeah. Dennis that's is the one that we had on and that he was trying to get to talk about Randy, but he wasn't having it.
Okay. Yeah, Randy's out there riding the ether, man. He's out there in a camper with his girlfriend.
Didn't you guys escape to Canada and stuff?
Oh, yeah, he's everywhere.
He's all beard.
He's on the run, but he's also prevalent on Twitter, so it's kind of great.
That.
It's it really is cool. He puts up videos of him just his big beard, and he's just living out in the desert. It's pretty cool. That's it's kind of Breaking Bad a little bit, you know? It's a little Breaking Bad.
It's crazy.
Nutcracker.
Was there another part or another role that...
That got away?
That got away, or that you... You know, that you look back on, and obviously you love the whoever did it.
Yeah.
But that you were like, "Oh, that would have been neat for me."
I did two that were I kind of goofed up on that I felt. I did, it was just a small part, but it was in the movie Office Space, which turned out to be, and they offered me the role of the guy that makes the face or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Face. It was just a small little part, but. It just that part just stood out, and it was kind of in step with a lot of the parts that I did. And then the other part that
you had said no to that, or
I
that's
said
what
no
you...
to that one, yeah. And then the other one that I never got offered it, but I feel like I messed it up. I went in. It's kind of like when things were kind of getting really heated up for me, and I was getting a lot of movie offers and stuff, and I got. Spielberg asked me to come in and read for Saving Private Ryan.
What?
Really?
So,
get out of here.
Yeah. So I went in. And I really didn't do any prep at all. I was just I'm on the hot list. I don't need to. And I went in and just ate crap. I didn't even memorize the lines. I just was so... And I always regretted... Not that I would have got it, but I always regretted not putting the effort into it that I should have.
Wait, he was there?
But I was, you know, in the casting proper. It was just that I had a shot at it, and I didn't even read the script. I didn't.
Why?
I don't think I realized it was Spielberg's movie till I got there, and then I think the casting lady told me or something.
This is a big deal.
And there was some kind of miscommunication, or it was either... I thought I was so hot that because I was getting offered everything.
Yeah.
And I just thought, they're just seeing me as a technicality.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the offer. And then after I did it, I felt ashamed because Steven's so amazing.
Yeah.
And he deserves better. And I was just, I was in a weird headspace. And so I dropped the ball on myself.
Yeah.
And I always regretted that. had I tried my best, maybe I would have been in.
I'm trying to picture. I could see it.
It might not have worked. I mean, a goofy guy
it's
like
a different choice.
Hey, buddy, you got a rifle there? My little German pepper squeak. You know, I don't know if it would have really worked.
Was there a time?
What is a pepper squeak?
Oh, dude, it sounds like something that's at a restaurant, but it's aggravating.
There you go.
Yeah.
Was there a time you kind of hinted at this where things did go to your head too much of the success?
No, because I always felt completely blessed and thankful and gracious for anything I got. My MO when I stepped into the entertainment world, I had one mission. I always said, all I want to do is be on Letterman.
Really?
Let me do my stand-up comedy on David Letterman. I said, once I get there, that was the tower for me.
That was the peak.
And I was like, I said to God, I said, anything after that is just a blessing. It's gravy. It's
pepper squeak.
It's pepper squeak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I never let stuff get to my head. I never got egotistical about it. I was more surprised. Like anything that came, I was like, wow, all I wanted was Letterman, and now they're offering me a lead role in a movie or a sitcom or this or that. I was like, this is kind of fascinating, and I just felt always gave thanks to the big guy whenever something happened.
I can't see you being a diva of any sorts. It just doesn't seem like it would fit.
Yeah, you wouldn't wear it well, I don't think.
Well, maybe I'll try it right now.
That's the time
why don't
start.
We dig up some stroganoff and see if we can get you into some diva jeans.
Get some diva juice. Get my golden eagle and get a little...
Oh, wow, dude.
Catch me a Korean boy for lunch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A Viet, as he calls them. A Viet.
Viet. And they're over by Best Buy. There's this one named Ben. A beautiful boy named Ben over there. But dude, 5 days on a cleanse, man, I could hear somebody fold a bread from 70 feet away.
5 days where?
On a cleanse, I could hear somebody fold a piece of bread 70 feet away.
Just, you do a lot of cleanses, huh?
Just what is that, you know? Rye? Like I could hear. I knew what was going on.
You cleanse a lot.
No, I need to cleanse more. You know, I just got some soap at the house, so I'm going to try something new tonight.
You cleanse like your insides, right?
Oh, well, there's this new thing, too, where people are putting orange juice into their butts.
I don't know this. Oh, wow. Well, they've said they've done it with coffee and stuff.
Yeah, I would do malted milk. I wouldn't. You keep me clear of any OJ.
Right.
I found a new way to score with chick. Do you have a girlfriend?
Uh-uh.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Definitely not.
Are you really gay?
Yeah, no, I really am.
Okay, do you have a boyfriend?
No. I'm not sold on him sometimes, man. No, I see him sometimes looking at women.
I definitely don't have a boyfriend.
Because this could work actually for both, but I found a new way. I didn't think of it for guys, but it could work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great new way to attract a partner, and it's a little unorthodox, but if you want to hear it, it's kind of
He's unorthodox Jew, aren't you?
Unorthodox Jew, yes.
So the yes is good.
So this is what you do. This is kind of the recipe playbook. It worked for me, and if you're looking for a lady, this will definitely work for you and your listeners. You get a shrimp platter at a grocery store, like, you know, those, you see like 20, 30 shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for a nice sunny day. Put them out on the driveway for about 2 days. Just let them heat up, turn a little green.
Mm.
Third day, eat them. Eat the whole shrimp platter.
Ooh.
And what you're going to do there is you're going to build a tapeworm in your stomach. And these tapeworms get a good 6-7 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing we know about girls and maybe some guys is what do girls love? They love animals, right?
Animals.
So what you do is now you got a tapeworm brewing in your belly.
Oh, yeah.
You head over to the bar, you know, look for chicks. But on the way, you stop at the grocery store. You buy like... a little chunk of gorgonzola cheese or blue cheese or whatever. You get over to the bar. You've already cut a little hole in the back of your pants.
Oh, yeah.
You wiggle the cheese right in front of your a-hole, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Boom. Guess what pops out? Guess what wiggles out? Tommy the tapeworm.
He starts
coming out. You lure him out. When he gets about 4 or 5 feet out, you pinch him off with your a-hole. Suddenly, you got a tail. What are girls like? They love animals. You ever see The Wizard of Oz, the lion with that fucking tail wiggling around? There you go. So now you got the girls all over you, man. You got a tail. That thing's wiggling all over the place. It looks real. And then at the end of the night, you just fucking put the cheese in your mouth. Tapeworm goes back up. He's waiting inside till the next day.
I smell a new Disney Junior show.
I know.
Tommy the Tapeworm. Bingo, baby.
I think we just created that.
Yeah, and diet. You can lose weight, too.
You can lose weight.
It's a great wild? Idea.
And that worked it out
works.
For you.
It worked. It worked. Girls love animals. They love do. And when they see like a tail whipping around, they're like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
And then to ice the deal, you just walk up to him and just start singing, if I were the king of the forest, I'd ruff, ruff, and I'd ruff. Right?
Yeah.
Bingo. I mean, score. Score. You want to go tapeworming tonight, bro?
Oh, dude, in a heartbeat. I got a buddy on the east side.
Tapeworming
that,
up tonight, bro.
That's a verb. I'm going to
get
us
some. Let's tail it up. Let's get some tail with our tails.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
I'm about to order a fresh batch of Gorgonzola,
yeah,
dude.
Blue cheese, yeah.
You are.
And warm up the van.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know? Yeah. You could call my grandfather.
Get an asshole of wafting going. Yeah. Waft that calamari ring. Lure out your tail, bro.
Dude,
wow.
If this hole's a tailing, don't come a
whale.
A whale.
There you go. Wow.
Okay. I think
that's a lovely note to end on.
It's a
you're ending
on.
That just got you 200 because I've been dying to get the fuck out of here.
There we go. So here's how it wraps up.
Wait, first we can see what does the score look like?
Okay, we got 80, 180, 815. So that's 416.
Yep.
You got 245. So you got 208.
Wait, why is mine accurate and his is not accurate?
Oh, the different hemispheres.
Looks like
dude.
Theo won the round. Yep. But in my mind, it's not over yet because this goodbye thing. This could tilt it.
There's one last round. How we do every time, we have each have a small mini competition. So Matt and I are going to compete right now.
Right.
We just have to figure out, and we can win it all or lose it all.
Yes. So you can keep those points in mind, or you could throw it out of the wall and just.
You haven't lost yet, bro.
You haven't lost yet, dude. You are losing, though. And so we just have to figure out what the competition is.
Yeah, what's a good competition with Mr. Williams?
Oh, between you guys?
Yeah.
It's just between you two.
Yeah, you're just a ref in this, man.
I don't know. Can how about, let's see, you can say she sells seashells by the seashore the most times before they blow it.
Okay.
And whoever says it the most is the winner, obviously.
Okay.
I have a shake, though.
Huh?
I have
a shake. In your hand, you creep.
But that's a bonus because this is like a stutter thing almost. So this might help you.
Yeah, your tapeworm's already got a little jig to it.
Yeah,
dude.
Man.
Tommy.
that's a spinner bait you got.
Yeah. Tapeworm's got the shakes.
Okay. So now we don't do it at the same time, though.
No.
Okay.
You each get a shot.
Okay.
Who right. wants to go first?
Matt seems like he's ready to go first, I feel like.
She sells. I'm just before
oh, yeah,
I'm
you're
saying.
Just okay. wondering. It's she sells seashells by the seashore.
Can I write it down? No.
No.
No, I'll give you the go so we know it's official. Are you ready? Let me know if you're ready.
Do I have to go fast or can I just do it?
You have to. You know what? We'll let you go medium.
You're going to fuck it up.
I'm going to give you three counts.
So I fuck everything
get,
up. I choke
get
everything.
Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
She sells seashells down at the seashore. 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 Okay.
No. And you lost it right away because she doesn't sell it down at the sea. She sells it by the seashore.
Oh. Yeah.
So you lost immediately.
But do I have to get it right one time?
No, you got it. We're going to give it because he was nervous. He got four.
Yeah, you got four
complete
okay.
ones. And you didn't even go fast. And you.
Okay.
And I still fucked it up. Yeah, story of my life.
You get a three count.
Yeah.
Because this helps you get ready.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
That's all of them. She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore.
Oh, bro, you won it.
Yes.
You won it, bro.
Fuck, I always lose.
He has 416. You just went up to 417.
Oh,
yeah.
So close, dude.
I'll take it.
He had the skill. He had the mad skills, bro. He had the mad skills.
He has arthritis in his fucking voice box, dude.
But wait a minute. He did phrase it wrong. So should we make him do it again with the right phrasing?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you a three count. It's she sells seashells by
the seashore.
Not down at the seashore, even though technically she is down at the seashore. By and down are two different things.
Two totally different things.
Okay, I got it.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore.
Ah!
She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore.
See, he's saying seashells. He's saying sea.
She sells seashells.
Yeah, there you go. You
she
did
sells
it.
Seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore.
Somehow. He did it.
That's it, baby. Because
you only got like two, bro.
Yeah, bro.
You browned out. Your tapeworm got tangled. Yeah. You tangled your tapeworm. You know what's weird? You were ahead the whole podcast, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you were way ahead.
Yeah.
Like, he was at 208 until the contest.
Ooh.
You were at 416. He shot to 417 and
yeah,
won.
He cheated.
I'm a closer.
Wow.
No, I'm not. I normally choke, but that one
but electoral okay. votes, I won electoral votes.
You won the popular vote. Yeah.
Oh, that's about accurate.
And you won electoral. And you won electoral.
But you won, bro.
Thank you very much.
What's your prize?
I know what you get. I'll buy you a fresh square of Gorgonzola, dude.
Hey!
How about that, dude?
Yeah, he needs a feed, and Tommy's hungry.
A room temperature cube of it, actually. I think I have in the trunk of my car.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for the win. Harlan, so everybody can listen to your podcast.
Yep, Harlan's Highway, and it's on iTunes, 900 episodes. And
900 episodes.
Yeah, 900. And Theo's on number 900.
That
yeah.
still blows
the
my
Harlan
mind.
Harlan Highway, yeah.
Michael Landon was on it, wasn't he?
Can I come back?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Another time? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll come back. He wants to get out of here.
He has experience with Michael Landon. No, but he has experience with
it. It's a long story. That's why.
Yeah.
It's a really long story.
Are you gonna keep going until the wheels fall off on the podcast?
I don't know.
900 is a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
We've done 110.
Yeah.
And that feels like ever.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. I think it's 6-7 years now.
Wow. That's amazing. Good for
you.
Did
you ever want to give up?
There's times when I'm like, you know what, I think it's run its course.
But then what keeps you going?
Steely Dan was on yours. Was Steely Dan?
Steely Dan, that kept me going. He played a live session up at my house. He cut his lip on his horn, which was weird. My cleaning lady walked in and he was in the middle of a sax solo and the cleaning lady bashed his fucking lip.
Ooh.
Not so Steely.
Yeah, he was on. And then I think what really keeps me going is I've had a verbal commitment, air quotes, for episode 1000 from Kenny G. So if that's really what's keeping me going. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right.
So if I can keep him in the zone, I'm good for a thou.
Oh, okay. I want to see that guy's tapeworm, dude. I come up there and you should do that live.
Kenny
well,
G?
What's cool because he has that clarinet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the Gorgonzola, do you ever see an Indian snake charmer? So he'll charm his tapeworm right out of his ass. And because he's got girl's hair, he can go fuck himself, too. That's great.
That,
yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Totally covered.
God, the gift that keeps on giving, huh?
The Harlan Highway. And watch Puppy Pals.
Puppy Dog. Dog Pals.
Puppy Pals on Disney Junior.
Disney Junior.
So and watch for my stand-up comedy special, Caramel Corn the Pug, probably coming out maybe before Christmas, but
really?
If not,
okay,
in 2018.
Cool.
In the spring.
Caramel Corn the Pug.
People will be ready for that.
I hope so, man. It's a dog doing comedy.
Oh.
We'll see.
And in the meantime, follow him on social media because he's some great social media funny
stuff. Yeah, we'll share them and tag it. Harlan, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You so
thank
much.
You guys. Allegedly, it was a pleasure. God
a
bless
time.
You.
God bless
Happy
you guys.
Holidays.
God bless
right,
you guys
everybody.
More.
Yeah.
God bless you guys more.
Yeah, thank you.
See you at the seashore.
Yeah.
Bye.